to this paradox. Not easy to find in halacha where this is expressed. But I thought of something. Perhaps it's true, perhaps it's untrue, but I'll share it with you. One of the famous Rishonim and halachic authorities is known as the Mordechai. Reb Mordechai by Reb Hillel Ashkenazi. He was one of the great halachic authorities who lived in Germany. He was actually killed Al Kiddush Hashem with his wife, his five children all together in Nuremberg in Germany in 1310. And the Mordechai writes, he's now published in the back of most of the Gemaras. In Masechta Baba Metzia, in Perek Eilu Metzia, Daf Chafei Amud Beis, the Mordechai relates the following story. It's also brought down the same story in Hagas Ashri, in the comments, in the glosses, in the footnotes on the Rosh, on Rabbeinu Asher, in the same place, in Baba Metzia Daf Chafei. So the Mordechai tells the following story. We'll go a little bit from Kabbalah to Halacha. There was a Jew who wanted to fix his roof. He needed, his roof caved in apparently, and he needed to fix it, he needed to cover it. So there was a Gentile who sold tin. So he went and he bought a quantity of tin, bedil, beis dalad yud lamed, which is tin, and he mentioned in Parshas Matos, and he to cover the roof with it. And the Mordechai says, then he regretted it, he doesn't want it. So what do you do with it? So he sold it to a Jew as tin. Jews from time immemorial never trust the reality they see. The Mordechai doesn't say this. This Jew who purchased it perforated it and penetrated it, and he found that mibifnim kulay kasef. It was all silver. It was just plated with tin. But it wasn't tin. It was inside, it was all silver. So he became a chashev gvir. I don't know if he became a gvir, but he had a lot of silver. So the one who sold it to him called him to the Rav. Either give it back to me or pay me the value of silver. It's much more expensive. So the Avi HaEzri, one of the Rishonim, exempted the purchaser from paying back the value of the silver, for compensating him the value of the silver. And the Mordechai says, Rabbeinu Tam, one of the Balei, the grandson of Rashi, agreed to this psak halacha. Why? In his words, Shalei zacha Yisrael ba'akasef kivan shalei yada v'lei niskavan l'knoisei. The Jew who bought the tin from the Gentile could never be said halachically to own the silver, because although it was in his possession, he didn't know about it. So he really had it and owned it, but since he didn't appreciate what he had, we say that it was not in his possession. Since, from his perspective, what he had was only tin, from his perspective, he didn't have silver, he didn't purchase silver, he didn't acquire silver, even though he did acquire silver, and it was in his own domain. We say that we don't say that this silver is in his possession, and therefore when I sold it to you, I sold you tin. You found silver, it's your basel. And this is the halach in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah and the Shach and Chayshah Mishpat in the laws of buying and Simir Eish Lamed Ches bring this halach. But he found it. I don't care. He found it. If the first guy would have found it, that's when he would have had it. Very good. That the Mordechai is on that Gemara. The Mishnah says that if you buy a home and you find in the wall of the home a matmain, a treasure, so you don't have to give it back, But there the issue is, the Gemara says, why? Maybe his parents hid it from him. So the Gemara says, if an Eretz Yisrael, it's so old that you say the Amorites hid it. One of the Canaanite nations when Yeshua expelled, that's who hid it. It was so old. So Tosfos asks there, what's the difference? Your domain causes any object that's in it to become yours. If you throw something into my chatzar, to my courtyard, I acquire it halachically. So Tosfos says, since you didn't know about it, and it's possible you would have never known about it, So ein chatzar kein alay. It's a fascinating concept. In other words, to acquire it, you have to appreciate what you're acquiring. And the Mordechai and the Agai Sashri on this Gemara say this halacha. The reason I mention the Mordechai is because it tells us about every acquisition, every time you buy something.
How come buy a get when you throw into the factory?
No. 1 second. Let me just clarify. You shouldn't get it wrong. In the Shulchan Aruch there, the Nesivus in his commentary clarifies, he says that if I find a wallet, and in the wallet there's a diamond, but I happen not to open the wallet, and then I sell you the wallet, then you discover the diamond, you have to pay me for the diamond. I didn't know about it. He says there's two types of not knowing. There's something that you didn't know about it, but you were bound to discover it. Under natural circumstances, you were bound. It's very, very unusual that you wouldn't find it. Then there's something that not necessarily you would find out, like the tin and the silver. You had to really break it. You had to take it apart. Under natural circumstances, you wouldn't find out about it. It's very possible you would never find out about it. If you want to put it in the contemporary terms, you could say, there is my not knowing about it because I didn't find out about it yet. And then there is when the object itself is concealed, so to speak. When the object itself hides its true identity. Now, this is the difference between Mamala Kalaman and Sevev Kalaman. Mamala Kalaman you also might not know about, but you're bound to find out. And it certainly lends itself to exposure. Soiviv Kalalman, one day might be revealed. Actually, when Mashiach comes, the infinity that constitutes the essence of the world will be revealed. But you can certainly go your whole lifetime not appreciating it. So therefore, it's in you, and it animates you and everything, but since you don't appreciate it, in your world it's not existing, and this is where the Tzimtzum happened. But from Hashem's perspective, the infinite energy is present, and it's present within the realm of every detail, as in the metaphor of the human imagination. You want to ask something?
Yeah. With the metaphor of the human imagination.
Yes.
And in terms of thinking about people and them not knowing for weeks and all that, it seems to be a fine line of it. At times, Rebbe said that if you don't like some, if you're having difficulty with someone, think positive thoughts about it. So our thoughts do have some sort of.
Oh, that's a good point.
Psychically or something.
You're adding that Alter Rebbe is not just giving a metaphor of pure hallucination.
I was thinking that maybe that's why Alter Rebbe twice points out Roya and Ra.
No, why?
I was thinking that you shouldn't think that it's that he's referring specifically to kind of sensitize you, that we're referring to a real reality.
Oh, that's a very good point. He's saying if you realize Alter Rebbe kept said twice, which apparently is very amiss. When a person imagines an object he has seen or he sees. Why is that important? He says seeing it or he sees it now? What does it add? Either you're looking at it or you gazed at it yesterday or a year ago. I mean, what's the difference?
One is a mental image picture.
And one
is the physical presence.
But the physical presence is still not in your mind.
Well, that's actuality.
That's the distinction. It's a mind effect by a very real...
Apparently, the mind in the latter case is affected by a real presence. And therefore, it's affected in a different way. But what it does tell us, perhaps, is that it's not just an hallucination he's describing. And it doesn't make sense that he would bring an example of something that's just pure fantasy. Pure fantasy. There is, you can perhaps say, that on some level, and I think in modern physics, this is B'chlanders topic of Frecht, and terms, I mean, we all know, this is not what he's saying, but we all know, for example, the power of observation. In the olden days, reality was reality, and you observed reality. And in modern physics, they say, not only that, that without observing a reality, it doesn't even exist as we know it. It actually exists in a very different way. Observation creates reality. But that's not the subject that the Rebbe is addressing. I'm just trying to convey the impact of observation. So when I observe a reality, there is a certain energy that's there. There's no question about it. There's a certain energy. The image of it is a reality. The energy of it, the projection, the extension of it. I don't know the term one has to use, but he's dealing with a reality. And when I see it presently, it's even more powerful. I personally never had it, but I'm sure people had it. Yeah.
I'm talking about that the human mind is psychically.
Of course.
There is some sort of, what does that alter ever mean in light of that?
It's still, but you don't envelop the physical object.
No.
You can be depicting the image of this watch in your mind, but it's not in your mind. With Hashem's analogy, he wants to say that the Seif of Kalalman is in the presence of the physicality of it.
What's real for you is real for you. What's real for me is real for me. Is our realities the same?
It's a different question.
Well, no. If you see that as a watch and I see it as a watch, we're both in agreement on reality.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you see it as a watch and I see it as something else, then that's not reality.
That's true. These things can drive you crazy. I told you this story a little while ago with the Greek, the old philosopher. I think I should. There was this old philosopher. It just tells you what philosophy is. I'll tell you, there was an old philosopher on his deathbed. He was a real on his deathbed. His students were around the bed, and he was already ready to pass on. So his most faithful student says, "Master, master, before you go, you got to tell us what's the secret of life. What's the secret?" So he thinks and he says, "Life is a river." Wow. He tells his friend, the master said life is a river, and he passes it on to his friend, the master said life is a river. And like in the telephone game, it goes from one man to another man to another man, but the message remains the same in this case, till the people waiting outside. You heard the master said life is a river. So the last man outside listens, he says, "What does it mean life is a river? Why don't you ask him to explain to you what it means? What does he mean? Life is a river. Yeshikoyach. Life is a river. Life is a banana. I mean, life is a ceiling." So the question goes back. Ask the master, what does he mean? What does he mean? And it goes back and back and back till his faithful disciple returns to his master. And now he's really going. He's literally emitting his last breaths. And he says, "Master, before you go, what do you mean? Wow, what's the meaning of this?" So he opens his eyes and with his last breath he says, "So it's not a river."
It's an intellectual chess game.
So it's not a river. Well, snisht is nisht. Let me just summarize.
Your point is that philosophy is an intellectual chess game.
Could be. I'm not saying it is. Philosophy could be. Okay, let's summarize it. It's interesting, by the way, the Alter Rebbe says not only your mind envelops the object, he says the object is enveloped by your mind. He adds that. And it's extremely relevant to the point he's trying to say. He's not just trying to say that the infinite light of Hashem is present everywhere. He wants to say that everything is absorbed in the infinite light of Hashem. It impacts the world. To put it in yeshivish language, it's not just a din in the oyu, it's a din in the world. The world is different. But this is only from Hashem's perspective. From Hashem's perspective, the world is in His infinity. The world is a different world. Because His infinity is present in every detail. So the definition of the world is a different world. It's not just He's there. He's there. This is what Alter Rebbe is saying. It's a din in the world. The world is in Seviv Kalam. You get what I'm saying? That's the point of the chapter. He's infinite. He's everywhere. Fine. The world is a different world. Again, let's go back to the original metaphor. I want us to understand this. In the space of this mic, you can't place anything else. Near it, you could place anything else because it's not there. But if it would be in another space, you can't place anything else. If you have something that's infinite, you can't place anything ever anywhere. Nothing can actually exist unless it's part of that infinity. So the Alter Rebbe is saying, from our perspective, Hashem concealed His infinite presence. So that in our perception and in our imagination, we exist as finite creatures. But in truth, He hasn't removed His infinity a bit. And therefore, the world is a different world. So there are two realities. There's the reality in which the world is tin, and there's the reality in which the world is silver.
The way it looks and the way it is.
From his reality, Tzimtzum is fiction. That's what I mean, it's fiction. The infinity was never removed. There's only infinity. In our perception, we don't experience that infinity, and therefore we can live an entire life and experience limited beings, experience our ego, our identity, our perspective, and ourself. Yeah. This is the meaning in the Medrash. Back to the first Medrash. Truth said, when Hashem came to create man, there was an argument between Shruth, Emes, and Chesed. Emes, Amar, Al Yibari. Truth said, don't create him, Shekulei Moli Shkarim, because he's one big lie. So when Tzemach Tzedek asked the question, Hashem's Chesed tolerates lies? The lie, Emes is talking about Hashem's light, what we call pre the Tzimtzum. Pre the Tzimtzum doesn't mean pre-1200. Tzimtzum didn't occur in the year 1190 and pre and post. Pre-post is conceptually. Pre the Tzimtzum is also now. There's reality from a pre-Tzimtzum perspective, and there's a reality from a post-Tzimtzum perspective. Emes, the true expression of Hashem, Amar Al Yibari, because Kulei Moli Shkarim. He is one big lie, not because he lies. Our very perception of ourselves and of the world as having an independent identity is a lie. Even without saying a lie, you're lying. The world is saying a lie. Emes Amar Al Yibari, what are you doing? Kulei Moli Shkarim. Our whole sense of identity is based on the fact that truth is being concealed, is being curtailed, is being covered. If reality would be exposed, what is our reality? It's an expression of Hashem's infinity. If he really removed his infinity, if Seiviv Kalalman is real, so there's a space where his infinity is not present, so there is something else emerged. There's a world. Zogdal to Rebbe, Seiviv Kalalman doesn't mean literally. Seiviv Kalalman means in our own perception, infinity is not present here. And therefore, we can assume that we have an identity distinct and detached from Hashem's all-pervading and infinite reality.
If it's a sheker, then why are you reluctant to say then that the world is a dream or an illusion or whatever?
Never says that. Tzimtzum for us is a reality. Symptom for us is a reality, and therefore there's a world. A limited world. There would have been a world without the symptom also. It wouldn't have the definition of limitedness. It would be an expression of Hashem's infinity.
So Hashem's perception, so to say, is not limited?
Not in Hashem's perception. The world! Hadavar Mukav. Not in Hashem's perception. That's wrong. Saiv of Kalaman is the truth. It's a din in the world. Not in his perception.
So in reality, you're saying the world is not finite?
In the reality as it's experienced without the impact of the Tzimtzum on us.
Matter, there's an effect on reality. I mean, reality
yeah.
is the world.
Yeah, that's reality.
Are you saying matter, energy, space, and time?
Am I saying that matter, energy, space, and time are one? Yes. So other words are saying it as well. Yeah.
That they already say in physics.
To break down matter, it's all energy.
He's saying matter, energy, space, and time, all the one.
I'm saying that they already say in physics. They say that the pre-Big Bang kernel, which is called the.
In other words, in the Alter Rebbe is saying, in the presence of Hashem's infinite self, we are all submerged in His infinite light. Nothing else can occupy any space at any time. Zogdal to Rebbe, that self is present. And our self-consciousness is based on a cover-up that exists in our own perception. Let me conclude. Yeah, of course. Now this is about the Eir. Hashem's essence, there was no Tzimtzum at all. Dr. Rebbe is saying in this chapter, even in the Eir there was no Tzimtzum. Even in the infinite expression, there was no Tzimtzum. Now this, to conclude... with a story. But I just want to share with you one idea. This revolutionized how Chassidus looks at the world. This teaches us what we mean when we say Hashem Echad, Hashem is one. When we talk about the unity of Hashem, that the world and Hashem are one. The world is godly. There's no point or particle that's detached from godliness. The truth of the world is godliness. That's its truth. There's nothing detached from godliness. He was saying, from Hashem's perspective, from our perspective. That is our reality from Hashem's perspective. What does it mean from Hashem's perspective? In other words, that is our reality from a true perspective. That's what it means. And the implications of this are very far-reaching in many areas. For one sense of joy in life is immediately accelerated. To put it bluntly, Tzimtzum Shalaiki Pshutai taught that the world is not a depressing place, which many Jews, particularly mystics and others, have always seen it to be. Tzimtzum Shalaiki Pshutai removed loneliness from life. It removed isolation. There's a reason why Chassidim, particularly Chabad Chassidim, were known for the fact that they had a sense of humor. Even Alter Rebbe himself. They were very serious, but not somberless, humorless. Because the world and life wasn't seen as a gloomy thing. It's important to understand that. Another point that emerges from this. There's nothing that's detached from godliness, and therefore how Chassidus emphasizes in a whole new way the theme of Kol Ma'asecha L'Shem Shamayim and B'chol Derechecha Dehayu, in all your ways you should know Him, that godliness, spirituality, it cannot only be experienced through transcendental methods, through otherworldly experiences, but rather there's nothing in our life, even the most simple, what seem profane and lowly aspects, that could not become godly. Nothing. Which was another major point of Chassidus. Another major issue that comes out of this is, don't take your ego seriously, because it doesn't exist. The sense of bittul, of self-nullification. The Tzemach Tzedek puts it in Mitzvah Achdus Hashem. Amitis inyan achsidus is as she's nishtokin ich. There's no I. You have to take the ani and turn it into ayin. Ani is the same letter as ayin. The I has to become nothing. If you understand this, there's no ich. There's no I. If you want to live with truth. Finally, perhaps, maybe one of the greatest points is that what this did was... it made Yiddishkeit into the most freeing and natural experience. It's not a burden. Very often, Torah and mitzvahs is perceived as a superimposed burden that subjugates you. Because you want to get Olam Haba, you want to get reward, you don't want to be punished. You have to become a slave of Hashem and deny yourself. What this said was, on the contrary, Torah and mitzvahs is the deepest method of self-expression. Because if you want to get in touch with your real self, with your natural self, it's Torah and Mitzvahs, which is an expression of Hashem's intimate light. And all these 4 points I said, the concept of joy, and of even everything physical being transformed into a vehicle for godliness, and sense of egolessness and the idea of Torah and mitzvahs not being a burden, being a servant of Hashem is not an act of self-subjugation but self-expression, are all basic themes in Chassidus. And they all evolve in one way or another from this idea of Tanya chapter 48, of what Seif of Kalaman means. There's one more implication that's relevant to what's going on today. I want to conclude with this. I guess by divine providence we had to prove today that the tzimtzum of an hour doesn't exist.
This is very interesting.
Although the tapes are not yet ready for the revelation of the pre-Tzimtzum reality, but that's their problem. But really they are. But Chassidus says this is what Mashiach is. Mashiach is that the world in its identity will experience this. Every mitzvah undoes the tzimtzum a little bit. Which is really a reiteration of what Alter Rebbe said in the 20s. Yeah, but he started 20, 21, 22, 23, those chapters. Over there he employed another model to explain this, with Hashem's speech being absorbed within him. But it's really connected. If you remember the metaphor he used then, Hashem creates the worlds through speech, but the speech is absorbed in his thought and in his essence. And when one word is in your thought and in your essence, it doesn't assume, it is there, but it doesn't have an identity outside of you. It's another way of saying what he's saying here. And in 21, he said the only reason why the worlds don't really exist as something independent is because there's no space devoid of him, so the speech never left him, which means Seif of Kalaman is not literally. The implications that Rebbe wants to make here are others, not this. His implications I already told you, that just like Hashem had to deny himself to have a relationship with us, we have to deny ourselves to have a relationship with him. But that's in chapter 49. But I want to conclude with a story, which I think is a symptom of this doctrine as well. It's a good question. This is how chapter 48 responds to the criticism. The criticism on the Alter Rebbe's opinion was, why is there a bathroom in which you're not allowed to learn Torah? Right? How can there be an alley that Halacha calls Mevoyos HaMetunafim? These are the contaminated alleys where you're not allowed to go. Hashem could be there and you can't be there. It's not only Hashem could be there, as Alter Rebbe says, what does it mean Hashem could be there? That's the reality of the thing. That's what I keep on saying. They didn't mind to say Hashem is there, he's in his own world. What you're saying is that's the reality of the alleyway. That's the reality of the object in the bathroom. That's its reality. Son, Hashem is everywhere in his own world. He's everywhere, fine. Infinity is everywhere. No, that's the reality of the finiteness. That's the problem. So that's why the Tzemach Tzedek explains this in Derech Mishpacha based on this Tanya. That since the bathroom doesn't appreciate it, in its world it's not present. And it's in its world, it's really Tamei. And Halacha says that that's a reality. The Tzimtzum for the world is a reality in Halacha. And I that's why I brought this Halacha. When you don't perceive that there's silver, it's not in your house. You have tin, you don't have silver. Of course. Right. And there are levels in the tzimtzum, and in the most profound tzimtzum, it produces realities that in their own perception are shalosh klipos hatmeis, and they act that way. Of course. The more the tzimtzum, the greater the ego. That's always the rule. That's what it means. Yeah.
That the world itself, that
yeah.
Its perspective.
Yeah.
So
The a Jew once came to the after the war, after the Holocaust, a Jew, a survivor, came to visit his former Rebbe, who was the Geder Rebbe, the Imre Emes, passed away in 1948 in Yerushalayim. This Jew was a Jew of Poland, and you know, I think before the war they say there were more than 500,000 Geder Chassidim, and they were decimated. And he was a Geder Chassid with the Shtreimel and with Payas, and he was in Auschwitz. And in Auschwitz he lost his wife, he lost all of his children, he lost everybody. His whole family, and he lost obviously all of his possessions and properties. And in the process, he lost one more thing. He lost his faith. So after the war, when he came up to Eretz Yisrael, he already didn't have a yarmulke anymore, certainly no beard, no side locks, no payas, and the entire. He left Yiddishkeit totally. He couldn't believe, he couldn't accept anymore that there's a God who lives and exists who can allow such a thing to happen. Yet, he missed his Rebbe. So on one hand, he was very embarrassed to go visit him without a yarmulke and the secular demeanor that he had. On the other hand, he really yearned to see him again. So he decided he's going anyway. And he went to visit him in Yerushalayim one day, and he went into him in his secular attire. And Imre Emes, the Geder Rebbe, immediately recognized him and asked him to sit down. He gave him a warm Shalom Aleichem, and he asked him to sit down. And he says, "Tell me what happened. Tell me your story." So the Jew told Imre Emes the whole story, everything that occurred to his family. He lost his wife, was gassed, his children were gassed, all in one day. The Imre Emes heard the entire story, and he began to weep profusely. And the Jew later told the story. He put down his head, and he was crying and crying. And the Jew naturally also started to cry. So they were both sitting in the room and crying. After a while, the Imre Emes, the Geder Rebbe, lifts his head. And he says, "I want to tell you something." And with tears in his eyes, he says that in Parshas Ekev, Moshe Rabbeinu describes to the Jewish people the tragic moment when he came down from the mountain, where he was for the 40 days after the giving of the Torah, and he observed the golden calf, the Egel Hazav, that the Jews erected as a deity. And Moshe Rabbeinu took the tablets and he broke them. And the words the Pasuk uses are, Moshe says, "Ve'espois b'shnei haluchos, I grabbed the two tablets, I threw them from both of my arms, and I broke them before your eyes." Why did the Geder Rebbe ask, was it important for Moshe to emphasize, "I broke them before your eyes"? He obviously broke the tablets before their eyes. But it seems superfluous and unnecessary to make mention of that point. What would have been the difference if Moshe happened to turn around and break them not before their eyes? The bottom line is he broke the tablets because he saw the golden calf that they created. What was the meaning behind his telling them, "You should know I broke them before your eyes. You saw how I broke them"? So the Geder Rebbe said, Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Jewish people, "V'ashabrim le'einech, I only broke the tablets before your eyes." from the perspective of your eyes, from your point of view, from your vantage point, I broke the tablets. But in truth, there is a world, there's a reality, Moshe said, where the luchas were never broken, where it's all complete. So the Geri Rebbe told him, I lost everything in the war. You lost everything in the war. And notwithstanding how difficult it is to believe, there exists a world in which Klal Yisrael was never broken, in which the Jewish people were never decimated, in which your family was never destroyed, was never gassed. There exists a world in which we're all complete. And he told them that the day will come soon when this luchas that seemed to be broken will emerge as complete. This is the world Alter Rebbe is talking about. The world in which the Tzimtzum is not a reality. Have a good night. Next week, yeah. I think only next.
Next week will be the last. Not next week.
I thought you were going to use the Marshall and the Twilight by Ron.
Bein Hashmashas? What does that have to do? Spell it like you spelled it last time. I think it's 129, chapter 48. The Tzimtzum debate.
T-E.
If I mentioned describing the world's twilight, one gets into a twilight.
Yeah, was that still?
Was?
And these are Shavuos Shavas. Was felt im Pshat, dass man darf springen zu da? Es ist doch Shavuos Shav, nicht Shavuos Shekhe. Shav meint nicht Shekhe, Shav meint Beginner. Leid, wat du sagst, darf doch sagen, naar deze schmus. Aber nicht scharf, wenn ich darf. No. Ja. Nu, nu, en als ik zwer, als ik de batzal te geef. Ik ga alleen hem zullen welkom brengen. Ik ga, ik wil zeggen, niet bij 11, zo even naar deze show, het is een leuke, wel ze kunnen hebben niet. Problem is, I've been in halacha, does the chyan even? That's the chnisht. The Yachas Talacha does the Chiyan have. I hear, interessant. So can sein, ich weiß, ich darf Mayen sein. Du kannst dich fragen, der Scheil am Pedig Gefall auf Gefbeis. Halach is emes in a eenheid mulvade. Wat is het zo'n schaal? Eenheid mulvade en halach is ook dat ze tam is. Dacht jij mulvade. De eberste rechen zich met een simtsum. Avada. Het gaat maar schaffen dat simtsum. De eberste rechen. Halach is de eberste. De eberste rechen zich met een simtsum. Why did he make the simtsum? What? It should be a dream. That in our world, there should be tumma. That the Eberster made the Tzimtzum, so of course he considers the Tzimtzum important. He made the Tzimtzum. Yeah. Huh? Of course you don't know what it means. Oh, in Yiddish.
Some people listen to it, including myself. It was such a... Was that a minor or a
secret?
It was so fundamental. So I knew what Mamish... It's going to be Shmer in Arabic.
Yeah, I have it.
I have some questions.
Okay, so you're going to be... Still a kav.
But if he's saying it the way the other Rebbe is saying it, then l'chayit is as much kedusha there as everything else. And if you realize that you should be able to be malah, you should be able to malah within the shalosh kubis of tmeis also. Why is that? Maybe I'm missing the point.
Along the same lines. If that's if someone does, even in the Aveda, that someone does chooses to do, then inherently it's good.
The whole what makes it an aveda is that he believes that Tzimtzum is kipshuta. That's what makes it an aveda.
In the reality, there's no aveda. In reality, there's no. It's all good.
What you're doing is not based on that reality. That's what makes it an aveda. You're violating Hashem's will. You're saying there's Hashem and there's me, and I want to do what I want to want. And he, what is he saying?
He's saying there is a
sim,
but if he has
it, some that's what he's saying.
I
want to take this chaz.
Kind of, I understand the Dalit. I want to be
Mal,
whatever,
so,
whatever,
so,
that I understand
That's how his Talmidim justified what he did. But it's obviously that's it.
But why is it wrong? That's what I want to understand. Why is that wrong? If I want to take the Chazan on the same thing, I could understand.
Because the Eibushter said it's wrong.
The only way you
want to know the best answer? Because the Eibushter said it's wrong. That's it.
We don't have the Kalim. Is it the word that we don't have the Kalim to be Malach?
It says in Tanya Perek Zion, that Pshar in the Gemara in Yuma, that Abal Tshuva Me'ava, Zdoyna is Nasa like Zachias, that he's Mila, the Nitzitz of the Aveda. The Gemara says that about Tshuva Me'avos, Doinus is Bavedis become mitzvahs. So the Rebbe says, what says Bavedis become mitzvahs? Yeah. So he says, since there's a divine energy in everything, a Chayis Aliki in everything. But over there, he's not talking about Seviv Kalamid, even the Mamalik Kalamidik a Chayis. It's out of the Negev, is not Seviv Kalamid. Even the Mamalik Kalamidik is also Kedusha. The Ebershtis Chayis is also Kedusha. It's Tam, the Mamalik, the Mitzumtsum, the Chayis. So he said he's Milet. In other words, a normal, ordinary person, the Taich Isur is bound. It's tied up. Mutter is it's untied. That's not there. That's in Pedic Tess.
Yeah.
You mix it up.
So
he's saying the Baal Tshuva, since his Avirabba comes through the fact that he sinned. So it's Megala, the Gedusha that was in the Aveda. In other words, it's only the Aveda that brought him to the state of Ava where he is in. The negativity, the outcry, the thirst came from the fact that he was in the Eretz Sea of Ayefa.
Oh, but that shows that bad someone was at Sea of Ayefa.
Of course.
It indirectly brings about. But what you're saying now is directly bad someone is good.
You want to know, you're saying, why is there an Aveda in the world of Tzimtzum Shalekib Shutai? Yeah, is the Chalt Zalakus. Yeah? But the reason it's you're doing what you did is because you don't believe in that.
But what if you do it because you're doing it with the idea? Let's say Ayin Chazan.
But the Eibushter said not. So you want to be. Who's the you that wants to be Mal? The Eibushter said not.
Not besides my choice.
Huh?
There is.
The Eibushter said not. The Chazan
itself
did. That's a separate shaila. You want to know why should the Eibushter say not? Okay, a shaila. But it's not already a shaila. It's a different question. It's a different question. That's where they confused. The Eibushter said not.
Yeah, but it's not only what. It's not because of my choice. It's saying that Chazan be'etzem is tuma. No, it's not that me eating Chazan.
That's a separate kasha. He wants to.
Right,
it's
the
chef. Then it's not. In ordinary cases, it's the chef.
No, it's
the
right, it's the gabre. If it could be sometimes.
The chlal is. That's a kasha. That's a kasha. The chreinim talk about it. They say that most is sudim.
Is it pagan?
So maybe in that one case,
the Torah permits it.
This
to elevate.
Then you could elevate it.
And the way you know that there's something to elevate there,
that it's only the gavra.
Very good. That lemaisa, because it's shalai kipshutai.
So it's not.
So there's nothing wrong with it.
No, but you see,
you can't say that. You can't say that. Because you have avodah zarah, it's not things that are for sure. Isur chefta, it's called tamei, makam hatuma, makam hamisa. So that nishchazer, there's things that says that the chefta says tamei, it's asur, it's possible, it's abominable.
Yeah.
That's what avodah zarah is. You don't.
The
whole thing of Avodah Zarah is because you're denying that Kedusha. You're saying, mitzad that Kedusha, there's no Avodah Zarah. Ain't a chenami. But the whole thing of Avodah Zarah is because you're not in that Kedusha. So what do you want? And the Eibushter knows about it, and the Eibushter created halacha based on the Tzimtzum. I told you, he's not saying it that the Eibushter doesn't say there was no, says there was no Tzimtzum. He's the one who did it. And Shulchan Aruch is based on the fact that there's a Tzimtzum. He wanted it.
It's not our perspective. You're saying that it seems like it's our perspective. In reality, there's no.
It's a reality the Eibushter made from our perspective.
In other words, do we have to take? Are we supposed to take God's perspective of no tzimtzum?
No, because the moon is the five diamonds that are moon.
You're not taking it all the time. Yeah, but you're not.
Can we? Can we?
can we step out of this? Can we step out of this?
You know what? We need a shear in this in itself.
How to reconcile?
We need a shear. We really need a shear in this alone. If the last shear you do is just devoted to this reconciliation, clarifying it, yeah, it would be worth it. Really, we need a shear in this alone.
Avodah Zarah is also a din in the government and the temple. If I diamond to the moon, it's not the moon's fault. If I diamond to a rock, it's not the
rock. But you could make the rock Avodah Zarah.
But it's not that the din is.
And I'm not allowed to use. I'm not allowed to use that rock. But it's fine. It's always that way. So you want to bring out that what? That really. But that's you could say about doimim and doimim. But benegayt semeach and chai, there's arla, there's things, there's kalai. Okay, kalam yosad. There's arla, there's chazer, there's treif. The koach nefesh.
Okay, so
no. So fakert. That pshat there.
The problem is that you can't.
It's not, and pekuach nefesh, since he's sick, you became in the matzif.
No, because
it's not the vart.
It is a vart. It's a klara raya that the metzias of the fruit didn't do anything.
Maybe the raya that Eberster was matted it, because pekuach nefesh is deicha kol atayda kol. Why are you touching it like that? You could touch a faker.
Yeah, no, there's no reason why you have to touch a faker, because the fact that I can do it sometimes means that it's not, it can't be completely.
Vos art mir. Just like you say in the Gavre there can be a Tzimtzum, so say in the Chefter there can be a Tzimtzum. The Gavre the Chech Eir Ein Sof. Right, so
the
Chech a
Chefter.
Why? What's
Ard? The choice of the person. So then I am able to, because the thing itself...
But you don't have to say that, because the Alter Rebbe says that Tzimtzum affected that the world should be a mugbal. You also say that's also a din in the Gavra. The Tzimtzum heb sich doch nicht damit avedis. The Tzimtzum heb sich... The world is a mugbal. I mean, was art me to say it's a din in the Gavra? It doesn't start with an aveda. If it starts with an aveda herich, it starts with elam abriya, with neshamas. There, there's a tzimtzum already. It makes it hakbala. It doesn't have to do with isur. After many
darkas, it's the way we experience life.
In the highest link, and they don't experience it without a tzimtzum.
Right, exactly.
You can experience it.
Now, this one, someone asked me, it's not pshat. There wouldn't be a stone. There would be everything. It would just be appreciated in another way. That's the pshat.
That's another way it's done.
Yeah, did it, that's not the...
And if the luchas wouldn't have been broken, also would have been a different...
It's not sure the luchas weren't broken.
They were broken.
Yeah. That's what Seva Kalaman means. It's the reality of what happened. You understand? It's an expression of his chayis, of his infinity. And to put it in the words, the Kav is an expression of Hashem's infinity. Hashem's infinity includes a Kav also. We don't experience it that way. We experience something detached. It's not the Geter Rebbe wasn't saying, in that world nothing happened. It's an not that it's an illusion. What happened, happened.
From the Shirius afterwards, in that world, that he is still from.
Uh-huh. That really doesn't make sense.
Because
when you're talking about he's from, you're talking about his perception. He's from. What does it mean being from? Being from means you're doing certain things. It's a wrong statement. You don't understand. You have to say, huh?
So you're
saying it doesn't have to do with Tzimtzum. He didn't mean the neshamas are alive. He also knew the neshamas are alive. It's a tifid of art.
And now our eyes, the goof died, but nothing happened to the etzim of us of that person.
No, but this is another vart.
That's what he means.
This is another vart.
He's saying there's a world that in the etzim, in the goof, nothing happened, nothing happened to the goof. That's what he's saying.
Nothing happened. I don't know how to say it, but
it's timeless.
According to what you said,
you know, let's put all questions on hold and give Rabbi Jason a chance to next week, deal with that. I think it's very touchy and maybe
it is very touchy.
And I'll regal out.
Chaim Voloshin writes enough for Shachaim.
Yeah.
That he says even though the Simpson was not kipshuta, you're not allowed to talk about it. Because if you talk about it, you could come to be oiker halacha.
That's what happened with Shabbat.
Huh?
It's one of the most difficult doctrines in Kabbalah. It seems. I was once in Lincoln Square Synagogue, and they asked Rabbi Yavlish from Baruch. Some guy got up there and he said, "Could you explain the doctrine of Simpson?" So I think it's up in front of us. It took about, he said, "You know, where do you want me to start?" See, it took like a half an hour, just to explain one point, and he didn't even touch the service. I thought he goes, "Look, call me. We'll sit. We'll learn it. It's such a difficult, deep concept with so many ramifications. I can't, I can give you the definition, but even then, you can't walk out with just that."
Yeah, but you know what? It's very central to understanding Tanya, and I think we really need a class just in that.
The Alter Rebbe felt it's important to talk about because he felt that the tachlis of Yiddishkeit is to ultimately create that on earth. It's not to talk about it. You understand?
You might understand that all the people that they even held it, we still tell a stomach out of the person completely. The girl that happened by accident, by Litvish.
What? Again?
All the people that held Sindhu Kachut, they didn't want to back of them. Who doesn't want to Mishnah Chassidim? So this we don't agree, but we might say.
No, the Mishnah Chassidim in Echaname.
The Gra also?
But the Gaon said, but the Vilna Gaon called it Apikorsis. What he said about the Yoshe Lava
Vesach.
Yeah, what?
He said,
because.
You may vote Pshat and Ramchal differently.
Right. Chassidus made it as I. Ramchal says it in that is as I see. So over there you can tie trace. It's abstract. Chassidus spoke Netzutzis and everything. What?
Chassidus held that Ramchal held it. So Ramchal
held it. In Simchum Shalaykh Pshutta, you could say two things.
Ramchal held it. That's what I'm hearing. The Gra.
What did the Gra
hold on that? You're not using this cost.
I did. I mentioned it, Bekitza. In Simtsum Shaleka Pshuta, you could say Simtsum Shaleka Pshuta in the Meir, or Simtsum Shaleka Pshuta only in the Eir. Moshe Reb Chaim V'Lajna held Simtsum Shaleka Pshuta, but also in the Meir. Hashem's essence is also concealed. That the Rebbe held no Simtsum Shaleka Pshuta is only in the Eir. In the Meir, the B'chal no Simtsum.
And you know what you have to do? You have to be very careful that that we don't get lost in semantics when you give this shiur on this issue. A lot of the issues run around semantics when you're talking about this. A lot of the issues are coming out of semantics.
There's a maimon of the Rebbe Rashab that explains it very bariches. It's called V'yadaita Tofrish Nun Zayin. V'yadaita Moskva. Sefer HaMaimorim Tofrish Nun Zayin. A maimer beginning V'yadaita. It's around a 20-page maimer. It's a 30-page maimer. Nun Zayin. Exactly, 1897. He said it in Moscow.
Okay, the one in the Rashab has Maimorim Tofrish Samachay, Kamer Samachvah.
This is Nun Zayin, Tofrish Nun Zayin.
Does he also deal with, also I think you once said, or someone in the back of my mind.
That what?
Also the Rashab deal with this, was it with Or or with Simpson?
No, not with this Nekuda of what it means, the world from Hashem's, what the world is from Hashem's perspective.
Sorry, the one from Tofrish Samachay, that's with the Or and the.
Oh, you mean that?
Vayelech.
Not Vayelech, that
means.
Tofrish Samachay, I said.
Yeah,
about the Ramak didn't know about Tzimtzum.
Yeah.
That's what I said for Tafer Samach. That's what he said.
No, you're saying it's our perspective. It's not our perspective. It's our reality.
Our reality.
We go out of this perspective. We cannot go out. It's a reality.
You could. No, you could. No, you could. This is manum, you could.
You get glimpses.
The Alter Rebbe says when you do a mitzvah, you go out of it.
It needs a lot of clarity.
You could go out of it. Because the ma'aseh with the delusion is a ma'aseh in Derech Mitzvasechi that some chassidic brings that there was a kid who once asked the Alter Rebbe, they say it was the delusioner. He was 9 years old. Once you say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, how can you say Vahafta? It's more than that. If Hashem Echad, who's the who you shall love? Who's the you that's going to love?
That's the
Vahafta.
You're
an Hashem Echad. So the Alter Rebbe told them right away. He said, because in the middle you say Baruch Hashem Kved Malchus Sedechem Vahafta. Parsha Kedma Chuslam has a much lower level of unity. So there's already a you.
Went down Madrega and like that.
So the Alter Rebbe is, what is he saying? He's not just saying, since you say Baruch Shem Kedma Chuslam, so you fell Madrega, therefore you could say Vahafta. It's like, you lowered yourself. And obviously, he's not just saying that. He's saying more than that. He's saying that there's an inyan of Baruch Shem Kved Malchus Elohim and Vod, and it's not that, there's an inyan of a hafta.
Huh?
You understand what I'm saying?
There's
an inyan in
it.
Taka says, the Gemara says, Anshe Yirichai Hayokarchin as Shema. They used to wrap up Shema, Shema and Vahafta together without Baruch Shem.
Because, no.
So it says in Chassidus, they didn't want to come down to Yichud et Hata. So Mechzedek asks it. He asks how. He says, I forgot. And then he says, Sherish Mitzvah Satzfili is also tickle. He asks this Shaila.
I just wanted to clarify what I was saying at the beginning of the class, about that conversation we had. I wasn't asking you a question about Gilgul. I was asking a question, why is it that, Rabbi Pinson seems to come up with a different sheet
than
let's say you and Rabbi Yochanan have. Let's see, look at Rabbi Yochanan's saying about the, it's out of ground print now.
Mohusim Shal Yisrael.
Yeah, you look at that sefer.
If it says that in Kabbalah, nobody can argue with it.
So, but I'm just saying what.
There's no contradiction between Kabbalah and Chassidus. It can't be.
I know there can't be, but it seems that somehow, in my head, the wires are not crossing.
I just answered you. I have to see what it says there. Okay. I just answered based on what I know.
Right. Okay.
There's no contradiction.
I
I didn't get his. I got yours.
Yeah, but I forwarded it to you.
His answer?
His answer, yes. All right, I'll re-forward it. Please. I still have it on my thing. I'll re-forward it to you.
Rabbi Yael Khan in that book, he addresses one point. Not every sefer talks about everything.
Right.
You have to realize that.
No, but I'm trying to
reconcile. So I'm just saying you have to understand. Rabbi Yael Khan in that book has a very negative attitude towards Gaia. In that book. Okay?
Doesn't reflect necessarily his personal reality?
No, it doesn't reflect everything that says in Chassidus. It reflects certain dimensions. In this perspective,
right,
the Jew is totally on another level than Goyim. There are other places in Chassidus that talks about other things.
Right.
You have to understand that.
You have to know how to take things.
Sometimes you'll read one in Perek Vav of Tanya, it says that this world is a filthy, horrible place filled with klippos.
Right.
Perek Lamed Vav of Tanya says that this world is the purpose of everything. It's more important than Atzilus. What's the answer? This is chapter 6 and this is chapter 36.
It depends on
What angle, what you're addressing. Of course, on one level, this world is the filthiest place. On another level, it's the highest place.
So that's a clue about how to handle next week's shiur when you explain the sinyan of tzivsa. So you have to reconcile with the mitzvahs. You have to explain to people how you have to look at different angles of reality. Maybe that's part of the key.
Right. Yeah.
I'll throw it to you again, the email, just so you can see.
Very good.
Clarify how I'm not looking at it right. You know.
Maybe you are a chvester. I have to. I never read Sefer HaGulgulim. I never read Shaar HaGulgulim.
Today there's an English translation of most of it already.
Really?
Yeah. What I'm trying to explain to you is that the world of Kabbalah, even the world of Kitvei Ari now, is becoming more accessible and more people who are into Jewish practices. So there has to be a more unified presentation. That's what I'm trying to get at. The world of Kabbalah and Hasidus, I think, need to talk a little more to understand how to unify, how to make a unified front.
Rabbi Khan doesn't like talking about Kabbalah. Yeah. You're not going to change it.
Okay, but the reality is that the first seventh of Sefer Eitz Chaim is already in English.
Really?
Yes.
By whom?
Aronson,
yeah.
What's his name? Last name Padeh, I believe. Translated for safe. It's called Hechel Adam Kadmon.
I know. Yeah.
The whole Hechel Adam Kadmon.
Well, Rabbi Yoel Khan doesn't like talking about Kabbalah.
I know he doesn't, but when you're talking Jewish outreach, you're going to already meet people.
He's not into Jewish outreach.
No, but talk about you.
Oh.
Talk about you. You're going to meet people who've read these books in English, and they're going to be asking you questions from Kitvei Ari. At least those that have been translated in English, I think, it would help you to have some contact with, some familiarity with. Sefer Shaar HaGulgulim has been translated in English. It's by Aronson. I admit it's not the full thing, but it's the main feature.
Okay, you want I should read the books, bottom line.
Yeah, I think it would, I think that it would help,
put things in perspective.
Yeah, exactly. At least so the audience who's...
Yeah, okay, fine. We'll see you next week.
Okay.
It's a complicated shiur tonight, huh?
So you give us a second one. No one's going to complain if the very last shiur is like a is a clarification of the previous.
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is chassidus.com.